to give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Time for the Milwaukee Health Briefing. We are joined today by Dr. Joe Zenga, head and neck surgical oncologist and associate professor at the Medical College of Wisconsin. Dr. Zenga, thank you so much for being with us.
Absolutely. Pleasure to be here.
Head and neck cancer can be a challenging disease to treat. How does it affect patients' lives beyond just survival, and why is it such a challenge?
So I'm a head and neck cancer surgeon, and head and neck cancers are tumors of the mouth, throat, and voice box, and many of them are really resistant to therapies, resistant to radiation and chemotherapy, and we still treat many of these with upfront surgery, actually. And as you can imagine, major surgery to the mouth, throat, or voice box can come with serious changes in your life, things we take for granted like speech and swallow. And that's really what's motivated my interest in research.
Dr. Zenga, your team discovered a way to identify immune cells inside of tumors, which can kill cancer. How could this discovery change the way we treat cancer in the future?
So believe it or not, that all cancers actually have immune cells inside of them. The problem is the majority of them don't do anything. They're useless. Or worse, they suppress the anti-tumor response. And it's actually just a handful of them, a needle in a haystack, that are really good at killing cancer. And they're really hard to find. But our team was able to achieve that by doing what's called single-cell sequencing. So we actually take biopsies from tumors, and we get the whole gene expression profile from every single cell in that biopsy. And what we found was that there was a handful of cells that clearly looked like they were killing cancer. Everything about them, their function, clearly cancer killers. And what's cool about their approach is that we were able to get the receptors that actually killed that cancer. We can get the gene sequence of the receptors. And if you can get the gene sequence of the receptors that kill cancer for a patient, you can manufacture new cancer-killing immune cells in a laboratory and then grow those up to 100 billion and give them back to the patient as a therapy.
That is amazing. Dr. Joe Zenga is with us from the Medical College of Wisconsin. Immunotherapy, detail what it is and how it works and why it's considered such a breakthrough.
So the word immunotherapy is really a basket term, just using the immune system to kill cancer better. The current immunotherapies that exist on the market now, like the drug pembrolizumab, also known as Keytruda, they're actually really simple. They're just antibodies. And what they do is they block molecular stop signals. So cancers have found a way basically to hold up a molecular stop signal, and that stops the immune cells from killing them. And the antibodies, they just go in and hide the stop signal. And the cancer cells go around them and start killing cancer. The problem is only a few patients actually respond to these immune therapies. And one reason is there's not enough immune cells that have the capability of recognizing cancer as a foreign entity, and that's what our program is about.
This research could lead to more personalized treatments. What does prescription therapy mean, and why is it important for patients?
So, you know, precision therapy is where, you know, a tumor might have a certain protein, and, you know, anybody who has that tumor with that protein would qualify for a given treatment. Personalized is sort of the ultimate precision therapy. And that's where you would have a patient come to the office, biopsy that tumor, and use the signature from that tumor to actually develop really a bespoke, personalized therapy manufactured for that patient in particular. It's the most specific we can get.
You know, less invasive, more targeted is in general what we all want to hear. How does that sort of therapy lead us to a world where cancer treatments are just that, less invasive and more targeted?
So prevention will always be the best medicine. You know, don't smoke, go to your dentist, wear your sunscreen. Once tumors are small and we catch them early, we can take care of them. Surgery will probably always be the right answer for really small cancer because human healing is fantastic. And when it's really small, people do great. But we want to live in a world where, you know, for advanced cancers, those that go undetected, we should be able to treat that cancer and save lives without delivering a therapy that radically changes that life. And that's what personalized therapy, we believe, can do. If you can create a personalized immune cell product that can kill that cancer, you can help treat that patient with limited side effects.
And what does this mean for everyday people? And how could this research eventually improve care for someone's parent, sibling, or friend?
Just that way. You know, when my kids are adults in 20 years, I want to live in a world where you could take a biopsy from a patient and 4 weeks later create 100 billion personalized cancer-killing immune cells and cure that
wow.
patient's cancer.
Wow.
That's amazing stuff. All right, yeah. So look into your crystal ball, Dr. Zynga. What's the next big step in turning these discoveries into real-world treatments that doctors can actually use?
So I know it sounds like maybe we're just on the precipice here, and I feel like we're close. We're as close as probably any team doing this, but that's on the geological timescale of science. So we're a few years off. There's a lot of specifics that we need to figure out, how to get these receptors in really efficiently, how to get the old receptors out. You know, we're going to have to take blood samples from patients, take all their immune cells out, and actually switch out the receptors. You got to take the useless ones and get rid of them and put in the good ones. Doing that efficiency is a challenge.
In the world we live in, lots of funding for research has gone away. It's dried up. It's almost like this part of our medical stuff is under attack, which I don't understand. How devastating is that? How challenging is that?
Extremely devastating. So, you know, all of this stuff is expensive. And I'll tell you, you know, you got to be relentless. I spend day and night writing grants for this work. The way this is interesting, I hope the way that cancer funding works is you submit a grant to the NIH, and it's kind of like high school chemistry. You're graded on a curve, and you know the top 10% of applicants would get the funding. This has been the way for decades, and this year I got a score that was a 6th percentile, and that was going to be $2.5 million grant.
Yeah,
for the lab for 5 years. I mean, big things. And with all this funding change, they cut the pay line from 10% to 4%.
Whoa.
Gosh.
4%.
See, public health should not be under attack like this. I mean, this is about our future. It's not about one term. This is just sad.
I couldn't agree more.
And Dr. Zynga, how has that halted some of the things that have been able to be discovered and the discoveries that have been made leading up until now, where you can't advance some of these discoveries because you don't simply have the money to?
Oh, absolutely. You know, as I mentioned, science is a geological timescale. So when you submit a grant like this, you get the score and then, you know, you don't get the funding for like 6 to 9 months. So you got to start hiring, you know, you got to put things in place to get so you can hit the ground running. And we had to just shut that all down. Like when they dropped the pay line, you can't win the game and then they change the rules after.
Dr. Joe Zynga, keep fighting the fight for us. You are a very talented surgeon. You're also an associate professor at the Medical College of Wisconsin. I thought it was interesting what you said about the time you spend writing grants just so you can do the meaningful work. We sure appreciate it, Dr. Zynga. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having me.
It is 4:57 at WTMJ.